breaking down the news of the day. And that is what we'll do on the WadeFord.com hotline with our next guest, Miles Garrett of Fox 5 Sports. Miles, we got the news about 9 a.m. this morning, an update to the Falcons quarterback situation that now, all of a sudden, Kirk Cousins is, quote, highly likely to start. How surprised are you by this, given all the news this week that it seemed like Michael Penix Jr. was going to try to give it a go?
Yeah, Chris, kind of split 50-50 on this because, I mean, you saw Michael Penix Jr. finish the game last week where he obviously looked like he was in pain. But that being said, you also saw him in practice this week where he appeared to not necessarily be a full go, but seemed to be healthy enough to where he could play at this point tomorrow. But do I say that it surprises me? No. I mean, just given the fact that how serious it kind of looked there at the end of last week, it appeared that there was some clear discomfort there. And obviously, you know that Kirk Cousins is basically back to full strength at this point. I know he was dealing with some stuff at a certain point in the season last year. But, I think it was some very interesting news that dropped this morning. Obviously, we don't know for sure what the situation will be tomorrow, but seems like signs are pointing towards number 18 being under center.
Yeah, and with that, regardless of who plays, I think, Miles, it becomes obvious to say getting back to establishing the run is of the utmost importance.
Yeah, no doubt, obviously. I mean, I'm sure Bijan Robinson, like always, is going to be the centerpiece of this offense. And, I think the big thing that you want to look for in this game is utilizing more of that play action. I kind of want to see if, in fact, Kirk Cousins is the guy on to line up at quarterback tomorrow. I want to see those play action looks because we really haven't seen a lot of those with Michael Penix Jr., whether that's lining up under center and whatnot. I'm curious if they utilize more of the pistol set once again with Kirk Cousins. I think the formation-wise will be really interesting to see if Kirk Cousins is, in fact, the quarterback tomorrow just because of how different their play styles are. I know both are pocket passers is kind of the word you'd put for them, but I want to see how they routinely use these guys, especially with how thin, I guess you could call perhaps, the wide receiver position right now for Atlanta with the release of Ray-Ray McCloud and kind of the uncertainty there at this point.
Do you expect them to make a move there?
At wide receiver, yes. I mean, I can't imagine how you can't make a move there at this point just because of depth concerns. I mean, we haven't really seen a lot from David Sills. Jamal Agnew has been more of your return specialist. Same thing with Kadarrell Hodge. He's had kind of a quiet year receiving. I know he was a little bit louder at certain points last year in the receiving aspect. And Casey Washington has given you some glimpses as well. But I think you feel a lot better about knowing that you have at least a clear-cut number three option that Ray-Ray McCloud really was for you last year. Darnell Mooney and Drake, we all know what they did last year, but Mooney has been dealing with his own injuries as well, and he's kind of been slow to get back. He looks like he's about full strength now, but you certainly want to feel a little bit better about your depth as we get into this latter half of the season where the Falcons absolutely have to put forth a winning record to get to the playoffs.
What did you see last week that needs to be corrected for tomorrow that they were able to let up 185 yards to Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when you have that debate because obviously Christian McCaffrey is right up there among the league's best, right? I mean, you consider him among those types of Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, the best of the best in the NFL. That being said, you really have to be more consistent, really, in just all assets. I think that's the really big frustrating part of this Falcons team so far, Chris, is the fact that one week they'll look like the best team in the NFL beating the Bills, and then they'll lay an egg maybe the next week. Not to say the 49ers aren't a good team by any means. They are a very good team right now. They've proven that, but you got to prove that you can stay consistent in this side of things. And obviously I think the offensive line play is going to be something to monitor too. Elijah Wilkinson, I think, had his worst game as a pro. And I think we came to expect maybe some of that, but he performed pretty well the first two games of this season. So I think you definitely want to see him perform a little bit better. He's not going to be blocking for Kirk Cousins' blind side this time, obviously being a right-handed quarterback. So you're going to depend on Kirk trying to get the ball out a lot quicker. I'm intending to see a lot more quicker releases from Kirk Cousins. I think he's going to probably rely more on that run game and those quick, not dump-off passes, but I think he's going to try to get the ball out of his hand pretty quick. But all that considered, I do want to see these linebackers step up in place of Divine Diablo. I think that's going to be the big storyline on defense, seeing how they are able to replace his production because Diablo's had a fantastic season so far, and his production going to be tough to replicate, so you're going to have to see what they can do this Sunday.
Well, the one thing the Dolphins can do well is run with Devon Achane, so even more of an importance for the defensive front to step up.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I really like the game that David Onyemata has been putting forth lately. I think he's putting forth, a lot better effort than, you know, what we saw at certain points last year. Rook, I want to continue to see him kind of keep up those pressure rates. Zach Harrison as well. I mean, Zach Harrison, what can you say about him? He's been fantastic so far this year. But, no, the front with Dorlis and all those guys, definitely going to have to make up for your holes there at the linebacking core. I'm really curious. I know this is kind of a side topic, but what this could do for Arnold Ebiketie. I want to see if maybe he gets some more reps out there. It seems like maybe he's in talks for trades. I don't know. I saw his name kind of thrown around this week, but it'll be interesting to see how these linebackers take shape while Devine's out and get those edge rushers more involved in this Jeff Ulbrich defense, because creating confusion for Tua, I think, is really important. And obviously, I mean, he mentioned it in his post-game press conference last week. It was hard for him to see over some of his linemen. I can't believe he really said it, but at the end of the day, you got some big bodies there for the Falcons defensive front that they can take advantage of.
Speaking of which, another week without Billy Bowman, but as you mentioned, without Tyreek Hill, it's been lackluster at best, and the Falcons really have no excuse not to take advantage of a weakened Dolphins passing attack.
Yeah, no doubt. And Xavier Watts obviously has stepped up. I really want to see Jesse Bates kind of go back into form right now, because it seems like almost in a way Xavier Watts has become that number one safety for this team. I don't know if it's just Jesse's kind of had a slow start of sorts, but obviously AJ and Xavier have performed extremely well. I think even Mike Hughes has performed admirably at times. I meant D. Alford. I apologize. Mike Hughes performing. You want to see a little bit better out of him. But yeah, this is definitely a very manageable receiving core that this Falcons team can take advantage of. You do miss the production out of Billy Bowman, of course. But no, this is a tremendous opportunity for the Falcons defense to get back on track and really prove why they are that top five total defense number. They really got to create some turnovers for Tua, who's very, very prone to that.
What do you make of the continued criticism, as we're talking to Myles Garrett of Fox 5, make sure you check him out there, of head coach Raheem Morris and offensive coordinator Zach Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky question. I don't know if there's really necessarily an answer to it. Obviously, Jeff Ulbrich answered, I mean, speaking on a different coach there, Jeff Ulbrich answered to that fact of having too many men on the field there at the end against San Francisco. But Zach Robinson, when it comes to, you know, being down there on the field, I do think it's made a difference for Michael Penix Jr. But that being said, if it is Kirk Cousins tomorrow, I feel like he may have a little bit more understanding given the fact that he was a starter last year. So you don't necessarily have those concerns about play calls and all that kind of stuff. Raheem Morris obviously trusts Kirk Cousins, but it's going to be something I think we're going to have to wait and see play out as the schedule kind of lays itself out here. You're going to have a really tough game in Berlin against Indianapolis. Obviously, you got to take care of business against Miami, but it's something that you got to see a little bit bigger of a sample size, I think, this year specifically, now that Michael Penix is that guy. And this team is really basically set in stone from there. So I'll wait to answer that question for maybe a couple of more weeks, because I want to give it a little bit more time, especially with Penix out, supposedly. I don't know that for a fact. But so far, it's really the name of the game, Chris, has been inconsistency, and they've got to fix that.
You surprised there hasn't been more of a kicking competition?
A little bit, because I think there's been times where, obviously, you know, analytics proves that, you know, teams should go for it. You're seeing that more across the league now. But at times this past game against San Francisco, and I think maybe there was a couple games as well where there was definitely a kicking opportunity, albeit a long one, but they elected to go for it. So to me, that shows you don't necessarily have complete trust in your kicker. I mean, Younghoe Koo would trot out there for 50-plus yard kicks pretty routinely. So to me, that tells me they don't have complete trust there, or maybe they're not quite ready to roll it out. I don't know that for a fact, but you definitely want to have a kicker out there if it's beyond 50 yards. I mean, 60 yards, of course, you know, that's a tough kick for anybody. But at the end of the day, your kickers in the NFL should be trusted to make 50-plus yard field goals. So they say it's a competition week in, week out, but I do want to see a little bit more trust put forth in Parker Romo if they do feel like he is their guy going forward.
Well, I have you here. What's your level of concern about the Dogs defense?
Dogs defense. Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's a young group. I'll say that. CJ Allen has performed very well, kind of spearheading that defense. I do think it's a good time for Georgia to have this bye week going into Florida, because this is a team that really kind of had Georgia's backs against the ropes last year in Jacksonville with DJ Lagway before he got hurt. But I think it's well needed for them. I mean, to hold. I mean, it was really a shootout for a thing that's putting it pretty simple against Ole Miss, putting up 35 points. It was a track meet for most of that game. But with Georgia, or with Florida having the interim head coach and the Georgia defense, I mean, Dalen Everett's got to step up. I think that's the big thing. Dalen Everett's kind of had some setbacks there in the secondary. Kirby Smart's been talking to him pretty frequently. I want to see a little bit more game out of him on the outside. But from the inside, I think generating those pressures, Georgia's really got to take advantage of that for Lagway. And I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be favored in this game, as they should. And I think they should win by a couple touchdowns. But that dog defense got to come ready to play.
Before I let you go, I'm surprised. I mean, I think he's played well, but are you surprised to be seeing Gunnar Stockton's name mentioned in some Heisman talk?
I'm not. And I think that Ole Miss game was really kind of the game that really asserted that he can be that guy for Georgia, because up until that game, it was also, I don't want to say inconsistency, but he wasn't really having those breakout performances where you're like, okay, like this is where I feel like, I mean, it was almost, you weren't seeing the performances that he had last year, you know, in the SEC championship. It was kind of those slow games. He had a good game against Tennessee, but throwing for four touchdown passes, almost 300 yards, and that added dimension of his running ability, I think, was huge for Georgia in that Ole Miss game, and really showed what he can do when this offense is humming under Mike Bobo. So I'm not surprised, especially given the top five nature of the win at home against Ole Miss. He's right up there. I mean, he's doing everything he can to keep Georgia in these games and keeping the offense humming, for lack of a better term. So I think he fully deserves to be right up there in those conversations right now.
Miles, appreciate the time as always. We'll check you out on Fox 5. We'll chat soon.
Sounds good, Chris. Talk to you later.